Ray, those were good thoughts, very helpful. Thank you. Thank you for that. A person who sticks closer than a brother, that's some friends we have along life's way, and that's the way I would describe Terrence and Pam Proctor. They're friends that stick closer than a brother. Dean and I love them so much. They're here with us once again. And it's always a blessing to us, Terrence and Pam, to see you, spend some time with you. Only the best memories of times past. And we're ready to make some new ones, brother and sister, as soon as you retire and move back into this area. At least that's our hope. That's our goal. And with Terrence and Pam, Chi. We've become friends with Chi. Chi has a lot of titles, a lot of jobs. She wears a lot of hats, but basically the head of Susanna Homes in Nigeria, and have only the utmost respect for her and her work in that area as a Christian, as a sister in Christ. And it is always a great favor, benefit, and blessing to be with you, Chi. I look forward to visiting with you once again and sharing your company. So thankful that you're here. All the visitors here, we're encouraged by this occasion, this assembly, but your presence here, being with us, makes this occasion even more encouraging. And we really mean that. Thank you for being here with us today. Today in our study, it's going to be an abbreviated study, basically some Bible readings. And you'll see why in just a moment. Look with me right now at Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. In verse 3, Jesus teaches, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." Addressing such a situation as this, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 teaches us these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Less than a year earlier, here's a brother who had been living in sin. He was living in sin. And Paul rebuked him. He rebuked the church because action was not taken against this brother. But now it has been taken, and this brother has repented of his sins. Verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 2, Paul says, "Sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was carried out by the majority, by the many, so that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him, lest somehow such a one be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow." Verse 8, "Wherefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him." Verse 9, "For this reason I also wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things." And so this brother was living in sexual immorality. The congregation removed him from their fellowship. Let it be known, he is no longer part of our fellowship. It was a difficult thing to do, but they did it. And now this brother, after that action was taken, has repented. He's repented of his sexual immorality. And he's come back to the congregation, making it clear, "I have repented of my sexual immorality.
Will you please forgive me? And Paul says, you need to forgive him. You need to forgive, you need to comfort, and you need to reaffirm your love for him, lest he be overwhelmed with excessive sorrow. To this end, Paul says, I wrote to you these things to see if you were obedient in all things, not only in withdrawing fellowship, but now that this one has repented, in reaffirming your love for him. Look with me at Luke 15. Luke 15, please. The prodigal son made a decision in verse 18. He said, I'll get up and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. That's his decision. That is a good decision, a humble decision. But equally important is the fact that he carried it out. He didn't just think about it. He did it. Verse 20, he got up and he came to his father. And while he's still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father, and the parable is mainly about the father and the mercy of the father. The father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead, he has come back to life, he was lost, it has been found, and they all began to be merry. And so the father shows the attitude that all of us should have towards someone who has been lost in sin, in this case, a brother, someone who's in the family of God, who's drifted away, and has now come back in humility and confession of sin. The father shows mercy toward him, and he does not put him on probation and say, in 3 months, we'll give you a ring, in 6 months, the best robe, in 9 months, the sandals on your feet, and after a year, we'll kill the fattened calf and rejoice. He forgives him completely. He is restored to fellowship. And that's what the father expects his children to do as well when something like this happens. Unfortunately, there are some older brother type characters that are not willing to do that. And that's what the remainder of the parable shows us in the older brother. And it says, verse 25, the older son was in the field. He came and approached the house. He heard music and dancing. He summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things might be. He said to him, your brother has come. Your father has killed the fattened calf because he received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and he's not willing to go in. His father came out and began entreating him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I've been serving you and I've never neglected a command of yours. And yet you've never given me a kid that I might be married with my friends. But when this son of yours came and who has devoured your wealth with harlots, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, my child, you've always been with me and all that is mine is yours. But we had to be merry and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live. He was lost and has been found. That part of the parable was addressed to the scribes and Pharisees, verses 1 and 2. They are the older brother type character. They did not have mercy. They did not have compassion. Now, did they repent and do as the father said and come into the house and rejoice and show mercy like the father? Jesus left that up to them at this point. The parable is left open because the choice is theirs and ours today. They were not merciful as the father was. Will we be merciful as the father is and extend that kind of mercy to those who return to the fold of safety? One other passage I want to look with you this morning, Matthew 13, please. Matthew 13. In sowing the precious seed of the gospel, we have four different soils presented here. Verse 18, Jesus said, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on good ground, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And so as we go about sowing the precious seed of the word, there will be many responses to that word. And some receive the word gladly, and they immediately receive it with joy. But when deceitfulness of riches, when the pleasures of this world pull them back into it, sometimes they go back into the world. We've seen that in our lives. And unfortunately, we've seen it here in this congregation fairly recently. And so we always have a heart to receive them back as the Father in Luke 15. But in the meantime, we need to pray for those individuals who stray away from the Lord and go back into the world. We need to do both. If you would think on these things, and we're going to go ahead and sing the invitation song. Brian, would you please lead us? Let's stand, please. Why do you tarry so long, your Savior?